What's up, everybody, and welcome to Checkpoint AFK. We have returned to the Checkpoint Studios, if you can't tell by the superior audio quality, as well as, you know, the fact that we're all in the same room.
It occurs to me, that's a out-of-date branding. I gotta move this thing. We're
going
to haul
this
thing out of here.
Yes, you do. We need to move. We have a giant step and repeat. If you are not watching on Twitch, over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP, that has old branding of a company that is not named that company anymore.
It's half named.
But anyway, we're happy you all could join us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to all of our channels, whether you watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Spotify or BPod Studios or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow us so you can get all the cool stuff that we talk about. Now, I wanted to check in with everybody. Callie is literally about to break down this entire...
She's breaking down the entirety of
the
it.
The entire thing.
I'd help. This is funny.
I'm not helping at all.
We could just move it off screen down later. Oh, there it goes. And the camera wasn't on to watch that.
See? And that's what you get.
You should have left it.
You should have left it. But anyway, we got a really cool show to talk about. But the first thing I want to talk about very briefly, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because, to be perfectly honest, there was not much of quality to talk about. But Xbox Day, I have a showcase of a bunch of games. They reveal like 20-something games.
Hey, I got a question about that Xbox showcase.
Yeah.
Why?
How come Microsoft sent me, specifically me, one trailer of Halo, and everyone else in the entire world saw another one?
Oh, you just got the suit trailer?
I clearly got sent something else, because in my trailer, all I saw was a little pre-rendered video of them making the Chief's suit.
That's
Mjolnir
what I'm saying,
suit.
Yeah, the suit
yeah,
trailer.
Yeah, I got that. How come everyone else apparently saw something that changed their lives? Because that's all I saw.
Well, it changed everybody's life for the worse, because that shit did not look good.
I was about to say, like, I was watching it, and I was like, is this, like, are they going to do, like, a comparison, like, previous Xbox to this Xbox? And it just never did. It never came.
If it was supposed to be the side-by-side
yeah,
of, like,
waiting,
Xbox
like, oh,
One
like,
and Xbox Series X. Yeah.
Like, that would be awesome if they would have done that.
It would have.
I would have been like, you know what? You got me. Impressed me. But it was just, like, so, like, almost PS3 level.
I'd have
like,
traded
Xbox One
the
level.
Entirety of that trailer for 5 seconds of gameplay.
I mean,
that's
but,
all I
but
wanted.
They had a gameplay trailer. They had a gameplay trailer that showed
a little bit after.
It
right
was a
after.
Little bit after that, mm-hmm. where they showed a lot of the game itself.
Yeah,
Master Chief has a grappling hook and all this other stuff.
It didn't show any like fighting, as far as I remember.
No,
it was just like, here's the scenery. And
no, it showed combat.
Pan.
What? Yeah, they showed combat.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you kept watching, they had a whole thing that showed combat. But the whole thing is the point is, it wasn't impressive. Nothing about it was impressive.
No, it was a little letdown.
It was Halo-y.
It looked like Halo.
And that's fine. But there was nothing about it. And I'm not talking about graphical fidelity and all that stuff, because we know graphics are only going to get that much better. They're not.
Right. They're not going to. We cannot eternally improve on graphics.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not expecting that. But I am expecting it to look decent.
I just wonder if maybe, like, I need to take a step back and just recognize, you know what? There's nothing they could show me that would make me happy with when it comes to Halo. There's plenty they could show me with other games that would make me happy. But like, maybe with Halo, maybe I'm just so spent on Halo that...
Yeah.
Which is weird, because like, I feel like there was a big opportunity for Halo to make a comeback. Because like, it was gone for... I mean, there was 5, but
it had,
like, I feel like
no, but it had some time away.
Just was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people kind of... But this was like... This is the first time I've seen people like legitimately excited for a new Halo in a long time.
It's not like Assassin's Creed, where we've had one every year ad nauseum forever.
Well, I'm going to tell you what the problem was. Is I think they... In their haste to make sure that this was a launch or near-launch title, I think they pretty much blew that load way
maybe
too
that's
early.
What, maybe the what? Game's great and we're just shitting on it.
Like, well, I'm maybe, but...
No, it's Halo. Will it play great like a Halo does? Absolutely.
Will there be a great esports scene around it? Probably.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Will there be a second-tier esports scene around it? Yeah, I mean...
Will multiplayer be good? Yes.
And that's... By the way, that's not to be a jerk. Halo has always been a second-tier esports scene. For as long as time has been around.
Microsoft hasn't done a good job at, like, trying to make it one, as far as I know.
No,
I mean, it's Halo was like the true grassroots shooter esport. Yeah. I feel
it was
like
the fighting games of shooters.
Oh,
yeah, kind of.
I'm serious.
I mean, I'm lying because I know it's true.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that to be insulting. I mean, Halo had a very vibrant, very, very active community, especially like, dude, Halo 2 was it. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was the shooter to be
that
playing.
That was probably the one shooter that got me into shooters was
yeah.
Halo 2. Like,
so,
I started playing shooters because of Halo 2.
Yeah, so you had all that stuff, but to me, this looked like basically Halo 5 with a grappling hook, and that sucks to me. But Microsoft announced quite a few games. Some look good, some look weird. Fable's coming back, which I could have swore Peter Molyneux said he would never work with Microsoft ever again at some point. I'm almost absolutely sure he physically with his mouth said that.
Right, but are we going to start trusting Peter Molyneux to be honest
absolutely
now?
Not. No. Absolutely not.
I haven't trusted the honesty of Peter Molyneux since ever.
Fable.
Ever, really, yeah.
since Fable.
Since Fable 2.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So that was really, really disappointing, the whole thing. I think...
What's the one that I liked? The Eternal Wilds or something? Was that
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the game.
Honey, no, that's Grounded. You're talking about Everwild.
Everwild.
That looked cool.
The problem about that, though, is like, again, no gameplay, so I don't really know what the game's about.
It's just pretty.
It was pretty, and I felt the message, so I was like, you won me. That's the only memorable thing outside of, like, you know, seeing Grounded and thinking,
Forza looks good.
Forza's gonna be good. We know. Yeah. It's not like this is a shock.
Yeah,
Forza, it would be more shocking
Forza
if it didn't look good.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there's nothing that I really saw. And thank you for the follow, by the way.
Yes.
You come away from the conference and you go, and really, I don't feel worse or better. I feel about where I did before, which wasn't stellar. But, like, they didn't show anything. Like, there's, like, unlike last time with the gameplay fiasco, there was nothing blatantly offensive about this show.
Yes.
No.
Last time, I came away actively angry. This time, I come away a little apathetic.
Well, I'll say this, though, is that when that came out, the Xbox 2020 stream, that the one that everybody hated, at least for like 3 days, people were like, yo, that sucked, right? And they still talked about it. They were like, yo, I can't wait to see what else Xbox got to show because that wasn't enough. Yeah. And now they said this, and it's just like a wet fart of a stream.
Maybe they have more. I mean, they plan on more, right?
But how many do you need?
But that, like I say, that's like the Microsoft motto. Wait till the next one.
Yeah.
That's like literally the Microsoft motto.
To be fair, though, I think I don't think the Series X is meant to impress us with the games. I think it's to really sell us on this Game Pass. Like the fact that they're
I don't know what it is.
I think there's a long-term play that we're just not seeing.
No, I'm jumping in on this right now because you're saying what a lot of people are saying and I completely understand it. And I'm going to go out there and say Game Pass is probably the best value for a gamer. Period.
Game Pass is about to murder Stadia.
Period.
Oh, yeah,
Stadia is over, especially once the xCloud stuff comes in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once that is fully online, Stadia's dead, right? But here's the problem, is that why then spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in research and development, on marketing, on all the shit that you do, on these streams? Why spend all that money on the Xbox and that brand when Game Pass is really the thing that you're trying to funnel everybody towards? Because if that was the case, you would just say, hey, here's the Xbox. If you can't afford a gaming PC, by the way, Game Pass is our big thing. Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know. I'm like I said, I don't know if there's just something that they're doing that we're just not seeing, or there's another play here.
Ain't none of that shit working. Mixer didn't work.
No.
Okay, Xbox ain't working. The only thing working is Game Pass. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If by some strange twist of fate that with the PS5, the PlayStation Now the PlayStation Now service just happens to be completely seamless, flawless. The library is awesome. If they came out day one and said, every Squaresoft game is available on PlayStation Now, right now. Go play it. If you want to play Vagrant Story, go play it right now.
Wild Arms, not only 3, but 2 is on there.
Yeah, what? If they, dude, Legend of Dragon, if they said some crazy shit like that, then what reason is there to even have Game Pass?
Here's my guess as to what's going on with the Series X, right? It was in development. Yeah. I mean, for sure, we can guess probably it's probably 4 years in development at this point. We know consoles start pretty far out, even if they haven't announced
it. 4 to 5.
Yeah. So let's say it's probably 2016, 2017.
So what's the landscape look like?
The Xbox, what was their half step that they did? Their PS4.5
Xbox response. One S.
The One X.
The One X.
Yeah.
There's One S.
So that's coming out at that time. They're already working on the Series X in behind closed doors. And sometime shortly after that, Game Pass launches, takes off, is hugely successful. That's where the transition is made, and that's where they decide, you know what, Series X is our last console.
I agree. Yeah. I think that, like,
you don't scrap your already years of development. You put the system out. Maybe it catches on like wildfire. Who knows? But come on.
They're doing it to cover the cost that they already used, probably, to get to that point. To develop it and just put it out and then say, you know what? Screw it. We don't care about the console war anymore, because I just have the feeling that there's going to be a day they're going to be like, it's their last console, but it's going to be on everything else from
But I also fear that, though, because if Microsoft says this is our last console and we're moving fully over to the X Cloud and Game Pass, dude, you still, first of all, you're conceding the console market to Sony.
Unopposed,
which means they make even more money.
I mean,
because
Nintendo's
Switch and the PlayStation 5 are going to exist. Like, no matter what happened between Xbox and Sony, like, the Switch would just sit there in their little carved off market on the side. Which, by the way, I say little, it's humongous. Yeah. They're making money hand over fist.
But Nintendo, again, Nintendo doing Nintendo things and recognizing that we'll innovate and you can't fuck with us on that.
Yeah.
So Nintendo's going to be off here innovating, pushing the market forward with, you know, whatever next thing that they do. Sony is going to have a strong arm on the console market. Then you have Microsoft, and they have a very interesting thing they're going to have to do. Because now they injected themselves directly into the fucking launcher wars. And not to mention, there's that big orange box company called Valve and Steam that they got to compete with now.
Yeah, they're going to go compete with Epic and Valve instead, which is not easy.
Sorry, you really think you about to outperform Steam at this point?
Even Epic,
you're not.
As big as it is, it's still like they're throwing free games at people to get them on.
Now, that said, even right now, many of their games do end up on Steam.
Yes.
And on Epic.
Yes.
So it's not to say they have to compete 100%, because, again, their play is always going to be, hey, come pay us $10-$20 a month, and you can have all these games for free.
Unless it's more of a, it's not so much of being a launcher as much as just owning these companies that make games. Maybe they're out of the console game and they're like, you know what, we're going to start like raking up some of these.
Hey,
these
the game, you know who's still a company in 2020? Sega.
Yep.
My friend, Tim, he told me, he's like, the Xbox is going to die out and Sega's going to come in and try to take on Sony. And I was like, that'll never happen. But the fact that you said it makes me think.
No, that will not. He's correct. That will never happen.
That's never happening.
Okay, right, that is never going to happen. But my point is that Sega at one time had to bow out of the console market and say, we're going to develop games. And people thought, okay, well, that's it for Sega. And here we are in 2020.
Sega's still around.
I think that's would be a smart move for Microsoft, is just to really be kind of like, not necessarily the Steam, but more of the...
just be a development house.
Development house.
Because that's what they're doing. They bought up Ninja Theory. They bought up Rare. They bought up...
Mojang.
They bought up Double Fine. Yep. They bought up so many of these studios.
That said, what really killed Sega wasn't the Neptune flopping. The Saturn flopping.
No.
The Neptune never actually made it to market.
No, never came out.
It wasn't Nintendo muscling them out. It was Sony coming in and eating up anything that Nintendo hadn't already gobbled up. So it is different in this time around, as Microsoft isn't exiting on the back of someone new coming into the space. They're literally just going to concede the market.
Yeah.
Again, we're all talking in theory. We're being very nice to Microsoft, saying, no, this is part of their grand plan. They might just be insane.
No, they might just be, this could completely be like some sort of delirious fever dream of Spencer, because like they are getting their asses kicked by Sony right now, and
they can't.
If everything holds to where it is now, they will lose even harder with this next console generation. Right. I just don't know. But anyway, we got to move on. The one thing I will say before we went and cut the mics on for this show. G4 announced that they're
back.
They didn't really say anything. They just said we still exist.
Yeah, they didn't say they're back. They said they never left.
That's a lie.
They very much did leave.
Y'all was dead as hell.
They said we've been gaming all along. It's like, okay, great. You guys have been on your couch, sure, but yeah, G4 is coming back in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
2020 is a weird year.
It's weird, man.
Did you have G4 comes back on your 2020 bingo card?
But you know what's so funny is that we, the three of us, literally spent a good 40-minute conversation talking about G4 and its impact.
And we literally said we want to talk about why G4 couldn't come back.
It was like,
damn,
we should do it
a week later.
I know. It's like we should sit back. It was like we should reach out to Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb and all these other people and reach out to them and talk about like the heyday of G4.
Do a big expose. We literally were planning a big expose on like the ending days of G4 and what happened and how come it could never work today. And then a week later, G4 is like, you know what? Fuck you guys.
we're
tapped.
Hold on. Yeah. The conference room is bugged.
Yeah. We need to start having our meetings elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Go behind that tree over there.
have a spare thought for the person who walks into the bathroom next week and just hears us all talking in the stalls.
It's like, yeah. So, Callie, did you send the email? anyway.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey guys, I'm Jake.
And I'm Robbie Landis.
And we're the hosts of The Owl's Nest, giving you that high-level perspective of the Overwatch League, checking out the news every single week.
That's right. You can find us every Friday at CheckpointXP.com and over our YouTube. You can also find an audio version on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Checkpoint AFK here with Callie Sloan and Chad Callahan. Don't forget, like and subscribe. I'm Norris Howard, your host. We're here talking about, you know, video games and stuff, but some other news popped off and outside of video games that I wanted to talk about with you guys.
All right.
Is that apparently, the homie Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, will be reprising his role as Lando, the baddest motherfucker in the galaxy, Calrissian, in a new Disney Plus series coming out. We don't know, but apparently this is rumor.
It's still rumored,
It is not confirmed.
Yeah.
Let me just, in caps, this is not officially confirmed, but Kessel Run Transmissions, which is a Star Wars fan YouTube, they've broken a lot of other stuff saying about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and stuff like that.
It's all over the place.
It's everywhere. So, you know, first off, what's the over-under that this is true? And second, what does this look like? Because I personally think this is like 95% true and done.
I think, I don't know how accurate this is, but I think Disney's smart to kind of maybe pre-leak things to gauge audience reaction. And it's not that we haven't seen stuff like this. Whether they tell us that happened or not is a different story. But it wouldn't surprise me if they pre-leaked this just to see if it got the reaction. Mm-hmm. And then you go forward with it.
Yeah.
I mean, my take on it is that it's probably true. I don't feel like that kind of information, like when you get to the specifics of like Donald Glover will reprise the role, it'll be on Disney Plus. I don't feel like it's going to be false. I feel like it's definitely going to be accurate, especially because of all the things that came out of Solo that weren't loved. Donald Glover as Lando was
probably
pretty
one
well
of the
praised.
Most spot on things. Yeah.
I actually wrote an article about this at our website, www.checkpointxp.com. Make sure you check it out. I'm pretty excited about it. I was a big fan of Donald Glover's Lando, and by the way, those are no small shoes to fill.
Absolutely.
Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian, is amazing. Yeah. And for them to say like we're gonna do a young Lando, first of all, they had to. You can't have a movie about
young Han Solo
and not show us how he wins the Millennium Falcon. If you hadn't shown it, that would have been borderline criminal.
Yeah.
So you had to do it. And Donald Glover, fresh off, you know, at that point,
Atlanta.
I guess it would have been Atlanta.
He was doing Atlanta.
Yeah, he'd have been doing that. He'd still been on Community.
Yep.
Was he on Community still? I don't know. I think
no, he's on Community over. Today still.
No, he had finished it. I think he wasn't on Community at the time. He had started Atlanta with Hero Rye. And then that was in between seasons when he did Solo.
Right.
And then his music career just went
at the same time. So Childish Gambino was like a little bit before.
Yeah, he had been doing music for a number of years.
Childish Gambino was like, 2012?
Yeah.
Something like that, he started?
Yeah, he had been doing music for a number of years.
Brilliant on like, not like him and his managers and be like, hey, I'm playing Lando. And also, here's an awesome album.
No, listen, you know his team, that's all planned.
Genius.
It's all planned. But, you know, the one thing, and I agree, I think this is, I think it's 100% true, 95% true. But the one thing I want to ask is that Disney Plus has been able to take sort of the Star Wars franchise with The Mandalorian, right, and create something that is wholly unique and yet very Star Wars. It's probably the most unique Star Wars product outside of Rogue One, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? So knowing that The Mandalorian borrows a lot from Westerns and, you know, old spaghetti Westerns and stuff like that, what does a Lando show look like?
For me, when I think of what a Lando kind of show is going to look like, I'm thinking something along the lines of...
I already know what I think.
Without the political aspect of it, House of Cards.
Mm, like, so very, very sort of cerebral.
Very intrigue, high intrigue, mm-hmm. very... You know, he's a criminal, and it's going to be kind of like, how is he going to outsmart the other villains this week? Another show that does that even better?
My only issue is that as much as, like, the whole idea is he's a criminal, even in Solo, the whole thing, like, he was very comedic. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I have a hard time comparing it to, like, House of Cards or anything because, like, that show did very little comedy. I mean, it was very, I don't know. But
it was a serious show.
It was serious. You're right.
I don't know what to compare it to. What's that goofy Western movie that like everyone
Blazing Saddles.
Like
the fuck out
of
here. It's not going to be Blazing Saddles.
Not that. I can't think of anything else.
But I'm gonna tell you this: if they could figure out a way to do this, this is exactly what this show should be like. The Lando show should be like The Wire in space.
Yeah,
that is what it should be like. It should be. There's two or three factions, if you will, that are involved in some sort of galactic, it doesn't have to be a drug trade, but just some sort of galactic commercial battle, if you will.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it probably will be the spice trade.
Yeah, the spice
Lando
trade.
Lando was well known for working in the spice trade.
It'd probably be the spice trade. What's the gas that they farm in Cloud City?
Not Bacta.
Not Bacta. That's liquid.
It's the other one. The one that powers all the blasters.
Yes. Either way, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what
you mean. Yeah. But anyway, that shit's important. And so I feel like if you did something along the lines of there's some sort of commercial / industrial intrigue that Lando, this sort of petty criminal, is now sort of rising above and, you know, gaining, you know, favor, gaining influence in this underworld until he eventually becomes the Lando we know, who is in charge of Cloud City. I think that would be fire. There's so many things you could touch on. You could touch on just what the fuck the whole Darth Maul and Kira thing was. You could touch on exactly like why Cloud City of all places. There's a bunch of things that I think a Lando show could be. But I think that's what it should center around is some sort of criminal element.
And as you say this,
Tabana gas.
As you say this, Disney owns this too. Like they should borrow a little bit from Guardians of the Galaxy, at least like the feel
in tone.
Like because I can see that doing very well.
Against the Mandalorian.
Mandalorian's semi-serious and it's got goofy things, but I feel like this should be like half and half.
See,
like,
I agree.
Moments,
I agree.
Very goofy.
I agree. I think it shouldn't be as serious as The Wire, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think that's sort of the angle it should take. It should be a little bit more lighthearted, but we're still dealing with like criminals and
right.
And you know, drugs and stuff.
Yeah,
like
scoundrels.
I need Batista to say something like lighthearted, funny when there's something horrible happening behind him. You know, I need that level of comedy to kind of make this work.
Well, I mean, because that's, but I don't think you'll have a problem with that because that's what Star Wars is already well known for, right? Think back to even Episode 4, right? Luke and Ben are in the cantina. And what guy's picking a fight with Luke?
I've got the death sentence on 12 sisters.
Right. Ben flashes the lightsaber, cuts the guy's arm off. Everyone looks and then just quietly goes back to drinking.
Turns back
around. The music picks back up. Like, that's the kind of feel that you're going for. And that's what it should feel like. I'm going to give you a reason this can work and a reason it might struggle.
Ooh.
All right. Okay. Reason it can work. Donald Glover is the reason that it can work. He has years of experience on Community. He knows how to develop a character over a course of seasons. He knows how to keep things fresh. I have no concerns about Donald Glover stepping into this role. Reason it might not work?
The supporting cast.
No. Same issue that I had with Jedi Fallen Order. As much as I like Jedi Fallen Order, because I know when it takes place, I know what can and can't
happen.
I knew that at the end of Jedi Fallen Order, nothing too earth-shakingly big could happen because I didn't hear about it in Episode 4. Or I'm left wondering, why the hell didn't I know about this already?
Yeah.
So my only concern is, you know, unlike The Mandalorian, which uses an all-new cast of characters and can do pretty much anything they want to, this cannot, because I know at the end of the day, Lando has to survive. And I know that at some point by the end of this show,
he has to control
the Cloud City. He has to come into ownership of it. Otherwise, Episode 5 has some explaining to do.
Yeah. No, but I think I think it can still be compelling.
I'm not saying that's a by the way, you can tell a good story knowing where it ends up.
Absolutely.
Right? Like Episode 3, as much as I do trash on the prequels, I don't trash on them because I knew where the story was going to end up. Yes, I knew Anakin was going to turn to the dark side. I knew that was going to happen.
Episode 3 is the best of the prequels.
Right. Easy. And that wasn't, and knowing how that was going to end up wasn't the problem with the prequels. It was maybe every other aspect of the prequels that was a problem.
No, but I mean, I think about it in the same sense of like, you know, the Game of Thrones series, right? As somebody who was a book reader,
right?
I knew at least up until season 5 what the hell was going to happen. That didn't make the Red Wedding any less impactful.
Right.
It was still incredibly shocking to see it visually represented.
It made the changes more impactful, too, when something was different than it was in the book. Now, they don't get to get away with that because it's not like, oh, we're adapting it to a new medium, so
canonized.
We can do things different. Exactly. Like, no, there is a canon of the Star Wars world that Disney has set that you have to follow.
Yeah. No, I think a Lando series will be really cool. I think it would be something that would get really a new cohort of people, because I can guarantee you somebody like my dad is never ever going to buy Disney Plus. But if I told him, hey man, they're making a Lando Calrissian series, he'll spend the $7.
Yeah, at least to binge it.
My mom will buy in to see Donald Glover.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
She could care less about Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Like
she loved her some Donald Glover though.
She does love her some Donald Glover. She also loved her some Baby Yoda. She started seeing the memes on Baby Yoda and was like, hey, what do I have to do to watch this show? And I'm like, you have to get Disney Plus. She's like, all right. I'm like,
I'm in.
All right. That was the selling point to get you into Star Wars, eh? Okay.
I
guess Disney does know what they're doing.
I think the thing about Disney Plus, and I find it very interesting, because they're the only streaming platform that can do this, is that they have maybe 6 shows that are worth a damn outside like of their like the vault.
The back catalog.
But how often are you going to the back catalog?
Never.
Like
never.
I watched a total of 5 movies off of that.
Yeah.
So I'm just astonished how well they're able to keep people coming back.
Yeah.
But the way that they're doing it is by like spacing out these really cool like new versions of Star Wars.
They're not dumb.
They know
what you're going to pay for. They knew that The Mandalorian, as long as it was on there with a new episode every week,
you're gonna get
I was
going to
pay.
Content.
Exactly. I was going to pay for it. They knew, like, the only series I've gone back and watched was Gargoyles, because
I went back
why
and
wouldn't
watched
you?
X-Men.
That's not
but
bad.
Y'all know I love X-Men.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not going back to see, like, any of the Marvel movies. Like, I've seen them enough to where I'm like, all right, I don't need to see this on stream.
I watch Rogue One again.
I mean, even
I did go through and binge all the Star Wars movies again. Yeah,
but you're going to do that
once. Yeah.
And then, like, so what's bringing back? Not like Netflix, which has, like, a bajillion original series, and it's, like, constantly bombarding me with new ones and
but
stuff like that.
But that's the thing. Like, obviously, COVID has put a bit of a a damper on it and slowed it down. But eventually, Kenobi is going to come out, and I'm going to watch that. Yep. And Lando's going to come out, and I'm going to watch that. The What If series for the Avengers is going to come out, and I'm going to watch that. WandaVision. I'm going to watch that. Like, they are going to start really getting you on these eventually.
Well, and you think about it, all they really need is 12 series.
Yeah, like, one a month. One You're a good. Month.
That's true.
That's it. If you know 12. Mandalorian March.
I mean, it's not even that. They need four. And then you release one a quarter and have them run 12 weeks, which is 3 months.
Yeah, because they only do the weekly.
Yeah, they all are. Yeah, they always do
a
weekly.
Week over week. Yeah.
So you need four big series ones. To carry a year subscription.
But I think
on there.
I think you need a couple that are bingeable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in between.
I think
so. Maybe something like, you know, maybe WandaVision is week over week, but, you know, the What If is clearly batch filmed.
It's meant to be.
It's meant to be binged, you know, or whatever.
Because even, like, they have Hamilton on there, which, like, took off. But it's like, okay, that's going to take off once.
One time.
Once.
Yep, we tuned in to watch it, too.
Go into either. Yeah, like, and that's fine. It. All right. Which these things are great. I just am astonished how they've done this.
They need to keep doing this with Broadway.
Yes,
like, this is brilliant.
Save it.
Like,
save it.
Trying to expand Broadway out to a bigger audience, because let's be clear, people coming up today aren't paying to go see Broadway shows. You talk about an aging demo.
Yeah,
your Broadway demographic.
I mean, if somebody told me I could go see, like, I don't know, Disney Plus has a run of Waiting for Godot or something like that.
I'll go see that.
I'll go watch it. I'll go watch it.
If I could see the original, I can't. I don't have it. I don't think. If I could see the original broadcast or original production of Wicked.
Yeah.
Original?
Yeah. With Idina Menzel.
Okay, that might change. I saw Wicked, and it was good.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't go back and see it again unless, it was original.
But if I could see Idina Menzel.
But the point is that part of it is a good idea, and Disney has enough money to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I agree with you, Chad, that Disney Plus has sort of this very strange, almost anti-Netflix mentality of where they'll say, hey, all we need is a few strong series and you'll come and you'll stay for those. By the way, all the other stuff is extra.
Yeah.
All the Disney Vault and Star Wars stuff is extra. Whereas Netflix will just hit you with new shit every day.
But, and that's the thing too. Like, Netflix, I think it's cool that they do that. I think it's cool. Like, as a consumer, I super appreciate that when a new Stranger Things season comes out, I can binge it in a weekend because they drop it all at once. I love that, but it's a horrible business model.
Oh, 100%.
Terrible business
It's model. A horrible
but,
business
but
model.
It's because they have Stranger Things, and then, you know, a couple months down the line, well, not anymore, but a couple months down the line, like, Orange is the New Black is coming out.
Yeah, House of Cards will be
House
there.
House of Cards is coming out.
All these
and this Ozarks
ones.
Is coming back, and then this, and this, and
it
this.
It was a smart way to hook us.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a good way, because now it's like Netflix and chill is a thing, like, and binging is a word.
It was a great way to hook us, but you also let the genie out of the bottle. You can't go back.
No.
You can't.
We'd
you
be
cannot
furious.
Come out.
Yeah. If you added ads to it, if you went and also decided to, like, make it week over week, people will riot.
I disagree. I, after watching The Mandalorian, am so okay with the week over week release of
it's fine there.
Of a show. No, even on Netflix. Even if on Netflix, because there are certain shows like Vox has a series where it's like a Vox Explained or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like shorts. But they release them in like little chunks, so you'll get like four a month, and then a new four will pop up. I like that. I'm okay with that, because now I'm not staring at the same 20 fucking episodes that have been there since the day it came out.
I also like the water cooler aspect of it. It's fun to go talk about what happened last week and what's going to happen, you know,
and
trying
theorize,
to
theorize.
And don't get me wrong, it was brutal sitting through that week, wait for Harley Quinn every single week. I was losing my mind. There was a couple episodes where I'd have given my left hand for another episode to come out right that moment. Especially, say, the last two episodes of the season.
Yeah.
But, like, it was fun to, like, then be able to text Robbie and be like, oh my god, that episode was crazy. I can't wait. What do you think is going to happen next week? Like, there was something to that.
In the social aspect, to be able to have your buddies over and you guys sit down and make an event out of it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make I'm not about to sit down for 10 hours with nobody.
There's no one in this world I like that much. I barely would tolerate Sarah for 10 hours.
I would tolerate me for 10 hours.
Exactly.
Like, for real. Like that. So that's the thing, is I like the sort of social aspect of it. Even, you know, The Mandalorian, we talked about it in this very studio about how enjoyable it is to let an episode digest, or The Watchmen, about how nice it was to watch something and let it marinate. Actually, well, think about what the hell the show was trying to do.
Well, you can also pace your shows differently when you do it that way. Like you can clearly see the difference in an episode of Stranger Things than something that, than like The Mandalorian, right? They're paced differently because they're expecting you to take a week away to think about it and to decompress and to get ready for the next episode. Whereas Stranger Things has to kind of function on a, once the action gets to a level, it has to stay there.
It has to stay there.
For the entire series, because if it dips off, that's where you're going to bow out.
Absolutely. Because what happens with Stranger Things, you hit episode 6 and then it's the go button. You get four episodes of character development.
Mm-hmm.
You get 2 episodes to set up a central conflict. By episode 6,
it's the climax.
Better be blowing up.
Yeah. Pretty
flat
much.
Out. That's fair.
And that is how every sort of bingeable Netflix series is built, where you get some exposition, you get a conflict, and by episode 6 or 7, it's go time.
We binged Parks and Rec not long ago, right? A series that I hadn't seen, and everyone was like,
you were remiss that you had not watched.
Yeah, well,
such
everyone
a
was like,
show.
It's got Aubrey Plaza and Nick Offerman and Chris Pratt. And I'm like, well, those are all people I like. Aziz Ansari, Amy Poehler. Well, those are all names I like. And they just kept going with people who are on this show that I'm a big fan of. I'm like, all right, I guess I better watch it. And we started binging it. And it was weird to binge a show that was made before the binge era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it was like, every episode was like, it was clearly designed for, and that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy.
I was watching Will and Grace, like 1998 version. And
wow.
Well, because I go back and I watch some of my favorite
Fuck
old
that,
shows.
It's a good show.
It is a good show.
I forgot that, like, in sitcoms, they used to do a best ofs episode.
Yeah.
Where they're like, remember when we used to go and
yes,
hang
where
out,
they literally,
and then
the recap episode.
Yeah, and I was annoyed. I skipped
You're like,
it.
Like, this is a piece of shit episode.
I was like, dumb, but then you realize, I just watched that a week ago.
But then when you realize that the season was 48 episodes.
Right, and then like that was like half a year ago that someone might have watched.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, well, and you see the same thing, like, anytime, like, if you were to go back and binge Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they do the precursor at the beginning of it, where they show you all the things that are going to be important for this episode that have happened. Now, granted, so many things happen in Game of Thrones that even when binging, it's kind of useful.
Yeah.
But it was clearly designed for a show that was going to release one a week. Because,
yeah,
by the time you get to episode 9, I don't remember what the hell happened in episode 2.
Yeah, no, it's true. So I look forward to this Lando show coming out. I hope it comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's where we started.
You know, that's where we started. That is indeed,
we spent the whole episode
that is indeed
on
where we started. I got one thing that I want to bring up a little bit before we break out of here. So.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, what's up? It's James.
And Robbie.
Hey, and it's Weird Beard.
And we're bringing you a brand new radio show called Checkpoint XP.
You don't have to be an expert, even though I am, and we're here to give you everything you need to know about the world of video games.
Interviews from the biggest professionals and your everyday gamers, we've got you covered at Checkpoint XP.
Whether you're a professional player or somebody who hasn't played in a while, we have something for everybody.
Hang out with us at Checkpoint XP every single week on your radio.
Find out where we're playing in your hometown at our website, checkpointxp.com.
So if you're looking to have some fun and talk about video games,
we got the rundowns for things that matter to you.
Checkpoint XP.
Your home for esports and gaming.
Got it that time.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Checkpoint AFK back with you one more time. Your host, Norris Howard, here alongside Callie Sloan and Chad Callahan. And the social media verse was set ablaze by Herman Miller and Logitech because these fools came out with a $1,500 gaming chair. $1,500. More than most gaming rigs themselves.
More than most kitchen appliances.
Down payment on a car.
Mortgage payments.
What else could you buy for $1,500?
That's more than every TV in my house combined.
I was going to make a bad joke, but I'm holding back.
Yeah, it's not more than my dignity, right?
You could buy an Xbox and a PS5.
You could buy 3 hours of me satisfying your every sexual desire for that price.
3 hours.
3 hours. Right,
well, 3 hours.
Not cheap. I know what I'm worth.
You're priced out pretty good. I will say that.
Well, listen, I always want to be of value.
I'm just saying, man, those are Vegas prices. You need to come back. Anyway.
I don't know. Vegas, you can find some cheap stuff.
I say Vegas runs the gamut of prices.
Guy,
I gotta tell
that
you.
Guy that was trying to sell me on the street?
Oh, yeah. He tried to get us to come to. Okay, so funny story. So we are in Vegas before we get back to talk about this expensive ass chair, right? We're in Vegas. Me and Chad, we're walking up the strip.
Was this the night that we were all there, but I had gone back to the hotel room?
You did.
Because we did the 14-hour day that day,
yes.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
You crashed out, so I was like, Chad, it's your first time in Vegas. You got to at least walk the strip at night, people
fun.
Watch, whatever. Back when you could be around humans.
Back when there were humans to be around, yeah.
So we're walking up the strip. We're over by the Link. It's like the Link and Harrah's or whatever, right over there. Or across the street from Caesars. So we're walking up and making a right-hand turn, and the guy on the street, they're always passing out little flyers to go to the strip club.
Right.
So they passed me a flyer to go to the, I'm like, you know, I'm straight, bro. You know, I'm not a strip club person. So I was just like, I'm straight, bro. And he turns around to Chad. He was like, we got something for you too, man. Big dicks.
Big dongers.
He said big dongers. Dongers. He said big dongers.
He had an accent. I couldn't place it what the all accent right. was.
Dude,
so it's him saying that. Just I didn't say anything. It didn't do anything. I'm wearing.
I was like, what were you wearing?
XP
no,
stuff.
Not Chad, not the victim blame here, but what were you wearing?
Chad did not have on his LGBT uniform.
Yeah,
okay.
I wasn't repping my normal garb. I was really Checkpoint XP.
Were you rocking that haircut at the time?
Your hair was
it
shorter.
Might have been shorter.
It was shorter,
it's
yeah.
Coronaed, but
it was the pre-corona version. So he's just got a very trained eye.
I actually was dressed. Like I changed.
Oh yeah,
clothes.
You were more dressed than I was.
Yeah, yeah. So if anything, he should have said that to me. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
But no, he peeped it out instantly.
No, well, if you're working that line of work in Vegas, your gaydar better be on point.
Man,
no, Omega, I did not go. Sorry. Next time, I'll go just for you.
I got to tell you, you could have missed out on some grade A talent.
You know what?
I mean, Vegas has some misses, but they've also got grade A talent.
Let me say this, man. We were short on time.
Yeah.
We were very short on time. Just to give them the full Vegas experience, I'd have went with you.
Yeah.
I'd have went.
We walked around. It was fun to walk around and like.
And because we're working, we couldn't drink anything.
We couldn't drink anything, so we got ice cream.
We did.
Oh, I remember you guys got ice cream. I do remember that. Yeah, a true
Chad,
Vegas experience.
Did we go on a date?
We went on a mandate.
We went on a mandate. Anyway, so.
Now it's making more sense, to be honest with you.
So I wanted to ask y'all this because
when's the last time someone mistook you for being gay?
Yeah, not that long ago, actually.
I just posted something that I saw on Facebook that I thought was funny as hell.
Yeah,
and it was like I just like to go ahead and issue an apology to all my childhood bullies. Turns out I am incredibly gay and a girl. So you guys nailed that one.
You got it.
I think about that sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, you know, there's a bunch of people. I used to get mad when they called me that, and now. Accurate.
Like, now accurate. Both accurate and I'd be like, damn right.
Right.
No, you know what? I remember my first week in the dorms in college because I like revamped my wardrobe because it was like the end of the big clothes era.
Oh, you were moving into like the.
I was
moving into the skinny jeans.
I was wearing a lot of Hollister. I was wearing a lot of Hollister.
2005-ish,
five six ish.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I'm wearing a lot of Hollister. You know, popped collars and everything, full doucher, right? And so I got on this, all these clothes or whatever, and, you know, slip on Vans and stuff like that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so I'm walking around, and I used to keep my dorm door open so all the fellow gamers could come in.
Yeah.
And we'd play Street Fighter or whatever. And I got my door open, and my girlfriend at the time was in there with me, and straight up, one dude just walked in, and he was just like, yo, Norris, who is that? And I was like, oh, it's my girl. He was like, oh, bro, I thought you was gay. And I just straight up looked at him like, why?
I'm not gay,
like,
I'm bougie.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know, man. Just, I guess, the clothes and stuff. And I was just like,
damn.
It was like, wow.
I think the last time, I mean, it was a simple, so first of all, it seems to be whenever you do a wardrobe change.
Absolutely.
Because, so in freshman and sophomore year of high school, especially, super awkward, geeky, all, you know, t-shirt and baggy jeans.
You're all gangly. Your clothes don't fit.
All gangly. Nothing fits properly. Yeah. That was me to a T. Hair just a little too long and not long enough at the same time.
But not enough to, like, it just looks like you're too poor to get a haircut.
Yeah, which may or may not have been true. But yeah, exactly. It just looked like I was too poor to get a haircut or clothes that fit properly.
Yeah.
And so junior year comes around, and I'm starting to really go through dysphoria for like the first time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what dysphoria is. So instead, I'm like, you know, maybe I just need to, like, get a new wardrobe and get, like, some actual men's clothes that, you know, fit right and look good. So, I mean, junior year is where it started to be the graphic t-shirt, but with, like, a single color button down, worn open, jeans that actually fit, Converse shoes, and I would always, you know, rocking the gel in the hair, even though you're not really styling your hair, you're still just kind of wearing it forward. Ugh. And then sunglasses even inside. Like, that was, like, my junior
Callie,
year.
I would have hated
every millennial male, at least white millennial male, went through the phase of the graphic t-shirt
with the single color button up over it. Everyone.
I did it for, like, maybe a week, and I hated it.
Every millennial male.
And that was just graphic t-shirts.
See, no, for
sorry, every white millennial male.
Yeah,
to be clear.
For brothers, it was the tall tee, super baggy,
yep,
5X throwback jersey era.
Yep.
Everybody went through that.
It was for anyone who looked like me, it was my parents told me to dress nice, but I'm too cool to button my shirt up. Yep. That was the look.
Yes. I'm no.
And so, like, literally, like, junior year, that's the look that I'm rocking. Somewhere there's probably pictures of it, although I hope not. And for, like, constantly people were like, yo, you're gay.
You came out.
Like, literally, it was like, oh, like the girls, like, for the first time ever are starting to talk to me now.
And you're like,
and I'm like, what's going on here? And that was it. Like everyone just thought I was gay, which, I mean, as it turns out, they weren't wrong.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, this took a very strange
turn.
Yeah, wait, what did you want
to
ask us?
I just wanted to talk about chairs, bro.
Oh, right.
We had to bear our souls.
It has been 4 months now since we've been in studio and able to, like, have a, like, eye-to-eye conversation with someone? Like, where we're just like, I've got 4 months of, like, weird anecdotes that I got to bring up and stories that I want to tell. I got to get it all in 1 week.
Yeah. No, we got plenty of time. But, this chair is expensive as hell. And if you want it.
Hold on. What is this?
It's Herman Miller.
Damn, man. My refrigerator was $1,300.
That's a nice fridge, though.
It was $1,300 to get my chimney repaired. All things cheaper than this chair. Does this chair suck your dick while you're in it?
No, but I typed...
Chad is like, no, but it might as well.
I got to tell you, buy a folding chair and give me $1,200 and we might be in the same ballpark.
I've been looking... Oh, this must be the ergonomic... Okay, I see.
Yeah, body chairs.
It better fucking be ergonomic.
Right, it looks futuristic. It looks like a gaming chair. However, the first thing I see when I typed in Herman Miller gaming chair is a $2,000 49 Wayfair chair that literally looks like a throne on wheels. And I love it. There's got to be a way for me to show it.
$2,049 for a chair.
Hold on.
Let me explain something.
Smack dab in the middle of, like, Comerica Park.
Let me tell you something.
Let's see if I can put this on.
Real furniture. $2,000 for a chair, that don't shock me. Not real furniture, right?
This isn't real. This does not look like real
furniture. No, but you get what I'm saying. I'm saying
sure.
Real.
Again, not for a chair, for a couch maybe.
No, chair. Real, I live in a house chair, okay? I can see it being $2,000 if you got it like that. Now, a gaming chair is a little bit exorbitant to me only because when I think about it and I think of every other gaming chair I've ever seen, it's a toy. Like, let's be honest. It's a toy. It's a fucking toy.
It's meant to look cool while you're on stream.
Yeah.
I badly put it on Twitch first.
I'm telling you, though, I live in a real adult grown-up house, and we went to Art Van Clearance, and I got a chair for $120.
So you didn't pull it up, Chad. You didn't pull up the proper chair.
I was actually looking at the throne chair. The throne chair.
Okay. Is it motorized? Can you ride around on it?
Here's the Embody chair. Oh, hold on. I got to go a little up.
No, but the point is...
This is the chair for the $1,500 chair.
Show them the $1,500 boy. So this chair is $1,500. Apparently, it is supposed to have all sorts of special ergonomics.
Better come with a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Let me use the exact language that they use here. It's supposed to come
I'm sure they paid a lot for that language.
Enhanced gaming seat. Has cooling foam in the butt area that prevents heat and sweat buildup.
Hold up. Let's start with enhanced gaming experience. What does that mean?
Well, it says,
if that just means I don't get swamp ass while I play.
Well, it says it's more supportive.
I would buy it for that.
I'm just saying, listen, not getting swamp ass while you play video games is very important.
Right, well, just say that then.
Posture fit, spinal support that supports not only in the upper spine, but also at the sacrum.
At the what?
The sacrum.
The sacrum?
You know, the lower back.
Ah.
Okay, say that.
Say lower back. No. Don't be pretentious.
No, sacrum. That's not pretentious. It's a bone. It is a part of your body.
Then say lower back and then go into lower, detail. Lower, put a little asterisk. Put a little asterisk and be like, to see more.
No one's ever been like, oh, man, I just beat up my sacrum.
My sacrum is on fire.
Hold on, Di. You mean to tell me you never said, dude, my quadriceps.
Sure.
Really hurts.
Okay, a lot of people say that.
Quads, but I've never said quadriceps first.
Okay, so down at the sake is where the posture fit is supposed to help out. The armrests don't just go up and down; they go side to side as well. So I guess that's cool.
Okay, that's
the money is in the even pressure distribution technology. So it's supposed to give you the most amount of support.
Yeah.
Even if you're one of those people that sit very strangely, like maybe you have
every gay ever.
No,
oh, you know what?
Like maybe you have scoliosis, or you're one,
or you're like me, and you game like this.
Yes, yep.
For some reason,
or you're a side sitter.
This is the problem. No gaming chair. If they could solve everything. If they do this one thing, no gamer does this.
Yeah, no one sits up properly.
That literally, your ass is only on like 2 inches of chair, and then sits here. That would be a game-changing gaming chair.
I need a gaming chair that literally, like, it's got, like, the roller coaster, like, shoulder pads that come down over the front here, and then something just presses into your back to force you to sit, sit up straight.
Because, Callie, I'm going to be honest. You do not have the best posture in the world.
No, I might have the worst posture.
You have pretty
in the
bad
world.
Posture. So, actually creating some sort of brace that can help you.
Yeah, exactly.
That
I need something that takes away my choice to have good posture.
They do
I need
have
something
that. There's like this harness that you can put on that like forces you to sit up straight.
Yeah, but
I need it.
But you wear that.
But yeah, you
throughout
wear it.
The day.
I don't
okay,
have
no.
A chair.
No, I need it to be my only option. If I want to sit in game, I need it bolted into my floor in front of the computer.
Yeah, see, for me, the perfect gaming chair, all I need is to not look like some shit that Lewis Hamilton will sit on during an F1 race.
Right.
And I also needed to have a cup holder large enough to store a bottle of wine. If you do that, if you give me that, footrest, all that other shit, optional. You give me that with the range of, you know, the back part. I'm straight.
I want to get Norris one of the hats, like the wine dispensing like hat. Put a bottle of wine in
that shit
side.
Is tacky. I don't want that.
Or
okay?
The chair could have it on the back.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's got a tube that comes around.
All right. Now, first of all, no, because drinking wine through a straw ruins the palate. So it has to be put in a glass. But
all right, fine.
That's fair.
If I had a little claw that held my wine glass.
press a button and it tips the glass for me.
And you're trying to get it.
That would be great.
Oh my God. I'd be raiding and I'd hit the button like in anger and it would just pour it on my lap. Like, damn it.
See, I don't get frustrated.
And then if there is a claw that's attached, you attach it to Twitch. So that way someone presses or donates money to you,
it'll just do it automatically. Now it's just Chatterbait, but for wine, basically.
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway, that's going to be our Checkpoint AFK.
Sorry for anyone who tuned in this week.
The rails. But
no one could have possibly enjoyed this episode. Everyone's got to be really angry right now.
They got to be like, I have no idea what the fuck this show is supposed to be
One
about.
Star.
One star. Neg rep. Ban.
Get them out of here. They said they were going to talk about something and then waited 20 minutes to talk about it every time.
I'll do a little reverse psychology. If you didn't like it, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
to leave a shitty remark, like, comment,
subscribe, and ring the bell so that you too can find out the next time we ruin your day.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's the new tagline.
Checkpoint AFK. Day ruined on the regs.
Come get your day ruined. No, listen, I really enjoyed this episode simply because, as Callie said, it was nice to be able to just like talk. But
it's hard to do over Zoom or Discord.
That shit's hard
because
man.
Like it takes that extra half second before you realize someone else is talking. It's way easier in here to be like, oop, and like, not say anything.
It does that thing where it's like, oh no, you go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here we can give like the eyes like, you shut up, it's my turn to go.
I've got something to say.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny also being back in the studio, man, because like around this time of day, we're literally like the only people in the whole building.
And
really.
In COVID world, like there's nobody, like this whole area is dark.
Yeah. And so I have no problem with like yelling and screaming about all the stupid shit that we would normally talk about on AFK. But the one thing I will say is it's because of you guys that we could be back talking about this, because if y'all didn't care, they'd be like, nah, stay your ass at home and never come back.
Yeah.
So
you're fired.
Yeah, so we're very happy about that. We will be back here at 3 p.m. It may not be on Friday. I'm just conditioning you guys for that right now. We may be thinking of a different day to do AFK. That's not final, but I'm just warning you that the day for AFK may change, so stay on the lookout, stay close to social media and all that stuff for that. Another thing that I want to say is if you have Instagram, make sure you guys go follow us on Instagram as well. We are posting a lot more stuff over on Instagram, so if you use Gram more than you use maybe Twitter or Facebook or other social media platforms, checkpoint_XP. On Instagram. So if you haven't been able to find us on Instagram, that's probably why. It's checkpoint_XP on Instagram. There we go. Too much shit.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's too much shit.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.